You're listening to the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Galatians. Galatians chapters 5 and 6 will be where Pastor Sandy will be teaching today.
Perched atop our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. is a 20-foot statue known as the Freedom Lady. This statue was sculpted in Rome and imported to America. But during its delivery, the ship encountered a bitter storm, howling winds, huge waves. In fact, the seas were so severe that the captain feared that the boat might capsize. And so he ordered the cargo thrown overboard. But when the crew went to toss aside the Freedom Lady, the skipper stopped them. He shouted over the noise of the storm, "No, never! We'll flounder before we throw freedom away." And this is Paul's message in Galatians chapter 5. Never throw away your freedom. And yet many Christians do. Legalism is the storm that rocks our boat of faith. Legalism is the mentality that it's up to me to either obtain or maintain a right standing with God by what I do. I try to prove that I'm deserving of God's blessing by my performance. At times, the rules I try to keep are God's. At other times, they're mine, or maybe they come from the church. But the idea is the same. Our work proves our worthiness. Well, the gospel of grace teaches us just the opposite. There's nothing that we can do to earn God's favor. On our own, the most obedient among us are still unworthy. Thus, God extends His grace. On the cross, Jesus did what we could never have accomplished. He did what we could never do. All that needed to be done for us to receive God's favor was accomplished on the cross of Christ. Our job now is to humble ourselves and put our faith in God's grace. But sometimes the storm blows, and we get bullied by this mentality of legalism. Maybe through a friend, or maybe some hard-nosed preacher, or even our own guilty conscience will tell us that we need to be doing this, we need to be doing that. And we can start to doubt the sufficiency of Christ. We add a few good works just to be on the safe side. We try to add to our spiritual resume. But trying to be on the safe side will put you on the wrong side. This is what we learned tonight. When we lean toward legalism, we diminish the cross of Christ and we drift away from God's grace. In essence, we throw away our freedom. Well, Paul warns the Galatians. Chapter 5 begins, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Understand, Jesus has set us free from performance-based religion. He's taken us off the treadmill of working and striving, but never measuring up. Today we live by faith. You remember in Acts chapter 15 at the Jerusalem Council, Peter told the church not to expect the Gentile believers to conform to the Jewish law. He said to them in verse 10, "Why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Notice Peter refers to the demands of the law as a yoke, a harness that will choke off the joy of Jesus in the life of the Spirit. And anytime Christians stop depending on the work of Jesus and begin to trust in their own good deeds, they refasten that yoke choke. They choke away their freedom. This is what the Judaizers were doing to the Galatians. Rather than teaching them to live by grace through faith, they were putting the believers there back on the treadmill. They expected them to live up to all kinds of pet standards and various rules, their own lethal concoction of self-righteousness. Here was the problem. Here is the problem. You see, the legalist, he appears so disciplined, so pious, so sincere. And a new believer gets intimidated. They think, "Who am I to buck such a spiritual person if they say I should? Apparently I should." Some religious folks like to throw their weight around. By enforcing their rules, they can control other people. Or they can make themselves look good in comparison. Or they can climb some pecking order in their mind. And you see, the new believer gets sucked in by this. Because of their ignorance, or maybe their fear, or their uncertainty, they become saddled with unnecessary baggage. A person who Jesus died to set free ends up living under, as Paul says, a yoke of bondage. Hey, this is why freedom is always unfinished business. You know, that's not only true politically, that's true spiritually. There's always somebody out there that's going to try to rob you of your liberty. Paul tells the new believers in Galatia, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. He's saying a yoke is no joke. I mean, there'll always be people out there trying to refit a new harness around your neck. This is why Paul is so adamant. Stand up, resist, stay free. He tells the Galatians in verse 2, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Now, one of the legalistic stipulations being enforced on the Galatians was Jewish circumcision. This was an Old Testament badge worn by God's people, Israel. The Judaizers were insisting that Christians in Galatia also wear this same badge. And you see, this is typical of legalism. Every form of legalism has its set of badges. Faith is hidden under the lapel, under the badge. Faith is unseen. Faith is in the heart. But you see, religion loves to assign external badges, badges you can see. There are churches today that emphasize ceremony and ritual for the same reasons. Righteousness is equated with outward observance, church membership, or baptism, or daily devotions, or homeschooling your kids, or speaking in tongues, or giving an offering, or keeping a holy day, or whatever the this and that happens to be. Certainly, these activities all have a place, but if they're made mandatory to pleasing God, you insult God's grace, and you diminish the work of Jesus. Faith in Jesus makes you as right with God as you can get. If you're trusting in Jesus, you can't get any more righteous. In Christ, there's no such thing as second class. Now, as I said earlier, to doubt the sufficiency of God's grace and to lean in the direction of legalism, just to be on the safe side, puts you on the wrong side. And that's what was happening to the Galatians over this matter of circumcision. Paul tells them that if they make a religious ritual a requirement to be right with God, they forfeit the merits of Christ. This is serious. Note how Paul puts it. Christ will profit you nothing. If you yield to circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. This is a big deal. Faith in Christ is an all or nothing proposition. We need to know that. Add anything to your faith in Jesus. Oh, I'll just rack up a few good works and rely on a couple of traditions just in case. If you doubt Christ's sufficiency, you forego the saving merits of Jesus. His benefits no longer accrue to you. Verse 3 tells us, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Since nobody's perfect, the legalist picks and chooses which rules and rituals he wants to obey. But that's not how it works, Paul says. Paul says to live by the law, you're covered by it all. God's law isn't some spiritual smorgasbord. You don't walk down the line and pick and choose. Hey, read the law that God gave to Moses. Do you kindle a fire on the Sabbath day? Do you flip on a light? Do you turn your stove on Saturdays? If you do, you've blown it. Have you kept a kosher diet? You remember biting into that ham and cheese sandwich? You little lawbreaker, you. You see, if you try to keep part of the law, you're under all of the law. Verse 4 is the strongest warning yet. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Wow. It's one or the other. You can't trust in the work of Christ and in your own works at the same time. Either you're living under law or you're living under grace. He says, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We're right with God by faith, which then poses the question. If you stop having faith, then how can you continue to be right with God? This seems to be the concern in Galatia. They had begun in the faith of God, but now they were drawing back. Paul uses stern words here for the person who abandons his faith, who stops trusting in Christ and begins relying on their own compliance and their own obedience. He says they become estranged from Christ. He says they've fallen from grace. As we read in verse 2, Christ profits him nothing. It's hard to say that such a person retains their salvation. Now here's my take on once saved, always saved. I don't receive salvation because of anything I do or don't do. So I can't lose my salvation by anything I do or don't do. It's not as if there's certain sins that are salvation snuffers. Commit them and you're no longer saved. That's not how it works. No, we obtain and maintain a right standing with God by faith. And yet, evidently, faith is not a once and for all status. You see, faith is not a sign on the bottom line type of proposition. Faith is a living thing. It's more like a plant. Think of it that way. If you want a plant to live, you water it, and you feed it, and you weed it when necessary. But if you ignore that plant, what's going to happen to it? It's going to shrivel up and die. And so it is with faith. We have to continue in our faith. We have to keep our faith alive. We can draw back and stop having faith. Colossians 1 verse 23 states this clearly. There Paul writes, you he has reconciled if indeed you continue in your faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You see, you have to continue in faith. Now here's a personal testimony. I grew up in a Baptist church, and man, there was a time when I held tenaciously to once saved, always saved. I assumed that once I committed my life to Jesus, man, that was it, regardless of any future decisions I made. That just sounds so good to me. Even after I started reading and studying the Bible, I wanted to hold on to that doctrine. That sounds good. In fact, I'd still believe it now if I could. But I can't. And you know why? It's not what the Bible teaches. It's not. That's not what's taught in the New Testament. From beginning to end, the Bible is clear that to be saved, we need to continue in our faith. Verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. In Christ, deeds and religious badges don't matter. You see, God always looks below the badge. He looks into the heart. He always looks below the external to the internal. What makes you right with God is not whether you tithe or don't, or whether you attend church or stay home, or whether you read your Bible or the newspaper. These acts may help you demonstrate your love for God, but they don't determine His love for you. God accepts you and He blesses you not because of your feats, but because of your faith. Now, a lot of pastors are afraid to preach this. They're afraid to preach grace, for if they do, they'll give up their leverage. I mean, if the church members discover that the reason God blesses their lives is because of what Christ has done for them, not what they do, what motivation will they have to serve and work and obey and teach Sunday school and come to the church work day? How will we ever get anybody to the church work day if they really believe they can stay home and God will still bless them? And yet pastors who fear the grace of God don't understand its power. For when you teach a person that God blesses them regardless, it frees them up to serve the Lord, not because they have to now, but because they want to. And you end up with everybody out on the church workday. Paul tells us how this operates in verse 6. Faith works through love. The more you realize God loves you, the more you trust Him. And the more you trust Him, the more God does to demonstrate His love. You see, the law drives a wedge between us and God, but grace melts us and molds us and fills us from the inside out. In verse 7, Paul asks the Galatians, he says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" I mean, one of these legalists sold them a toxic potion of faith plus works. This persuasion does not come from Him who calls you. This undermining of God's grace that was going on in Galatia was never taught by Christ, nor was it ever preached by Paul. He warns them, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You see, legalism is like yeast. It corrupts by puffing up. Legalism plays on our pride. It's the show me religion. Oh, look at what I'm doing for God. Look at how good I am. And that kind of attitude can pollute an entire church. It turns a good church into a bunch of hypocrites. Verse 10, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. The message Paul preached was the work of Christ, the cross. And this was what offended the Jews. The cross implied that man can never be good enough for God. You see, the idea of God's grace assaults man's pride. Paul wasn't the target of Jewish persecution because of his preaching of Old Testament legalism. Oh no, Paul taught God's grace. And that's why they tried to silence him. Now keep in mind, the flashpoint for these Judaizers was circumcision. This was the rule on which they insisted. And this is why Paul hits hard in verse 12. In fact, he takes off the gloves, so to speak. Notice he says, I could wish that those who troubled you would even cut themselves off. You know what he's saying? Paul is so opposed to this performance-based religion, he wishes that those who were insisting on circumcision just go all out, man. I mean, if clipping off the foreskin is what truly pleases God, then why not go to the extreme and just emasculate yourself? Here's how Peterson paraphrases verse 12. He says, why don't these agitators, obsessive as they are about circumcision, go all the way and castrate themselves? Paul gets pretty tough here, doesn't he? Verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Now, for over four chapters, Paul has stressed the importance of liberty. But Paul realizes that he can be misunderstood. You know, misunderstandings happen. If you're married, you know that. Recently, I ran across some headlines that basically ran the same risk. Here are some headlines that have been misunderstood. Police begin campaign to run down jaywalkers. That can be misunderstood. Iraqi head seeks arms. It's a good feeling when your wife still laughs at your jokes. Astronaut takes blame for gas in spacecraft. Here's one. Local high school dropouts cut in half. And how about this one? Man minus ear waves hearing. Of course he does. I'm sure that the editor of these comments wished that he had been more careful to avoid the misunderstanding. Well, Paul wants to be careful to prevent a misunderstanding. Just because we're free from living under the law doesn't mean we have liberty to sin. Yes, rules no longer govern our behavior. But that doesn't mean that our behavior doesn't matter. Law is out. Love is in. We've swapped rules for a relationship. You see, pleasing God is still the goal, but the method now has changed. The law worked from the outside in. You conform to the law, but grace puts us in touch with God and transforms us from the inside out. Paul encourages us. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You see, God wants us controlled not by law or by lust, but by love. You know, people gravitate toward the extreme. It's either legalism on the one hand or it's license on the other. But grace produces love. The love of Christ is what produces gratitude in our hearts. Grace isn't an excuse to sin. It's a reason not to sin. We're so in love with Jesus. We're so grateful to Him for what He's done. We don't want to do anything that would displease Him. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Here it is. Drum roll, please. One word sums up the whole Old Testament. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the whole intent of the law was to love. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. You know, one of the most famous bites of all time occurred in the heavyweight title fight between Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson. The two boxers were all tied up when Tyson leaned in and he took a bite out of Holyfield's ear. The boxing world was appalled by such a barbaric, classless tactic. And yet I wonder how many Christians have taken a bite out of another brother or sister. We're certainly not free to snip at each other with gossip, to take bites out of each other's reputation. Believers in Jesus need to walk in love. Verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Here's how you walk in love. You walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the lust of the flesh is a biblical name for selfish desires. And how do you overcome a lifestyle of selfish gratification? Some say the answer is willpower, more willpower, man, or the power of positive thinking. Some say self-discipline or the 12 steps or months of psychological therapy. But the answer is much simpler. Paul tells us, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you get caught up and wrapped up and overwhelmed in the influence and love of the Holy Spirit, you don't have time to concern yourself with the lust of the flesh. You become too busy loving God and loving others than to worry about yourself. He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You see, Paul pinpoints two approaches to life. Either you see yourself in Christ or you see yourself apart from Christ. Either your world revolves around Jesus or it revolves around yourself. Either you're relishing the grace of God or you're relying on your own grit. Either you're into Jesus or you're into yourself. It's one or the other. Paul says, get caught up in Jesus. Walk in the influence of the Holy Spirit and you'll lose interest in fleshly desires. He tells us in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The influence of the Holy Spirit accomplishes what the law could never do. It teaches us how to love. It puts love in our hearts. In fact, these two approaches to life produce predictable paths. Paul lists the works of the flesh alongside the fruit of the Spirit. The flesh, that is me apart from Christ, it works. When I'm walking in the flesh, it's all up to me. But the Spirit inside me does God's work in my life. And the result is fruit. You see, the flesh is self-centered. The fruit is Spirit-inspired. And you see the difference in the attributes they produce.
Pastor Sandy will continue in the book of Galatians next time. While the exact tactics of the legalists represented in the book of Galatians might not be the ways we're tempted today, don't be mistaken. Legalism is alive and well in the church. We'll learn how to combat legalism in this study through Galatians. This has been another edition of Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams. He's the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, we're sure that today's message in Galatians has blessed and encouraged you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe you'd like to review this message again, or perhaps a family member or friend has come to mind today. Log on to sandyadams.org and click on the radio program option from the main menu. There you'll find today's message. All you need to do is remember today's date and log on to sandyadams.org. Or you can give us a call here at the church. Our phone number is 770-736-2828. That's 770-736-2828. Someone is standing by to talk with you. Again, just mention today's date and we'll send you the full-length CD. Next time, Pastor Sandy will continue to take us verse by verse through the book of Galatians. On behalf of Pastor Sandy and the entire production team, we want to say thank you for tuning in and may God bless you.